I want to use some scripture. Boy, I've got to kick along here because I wanted to read probably the longest portion of the Word of the Lord that I've read in a long time to you. I'm going to try to do it. Out of the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, three texts for you. God's Word will be fulfilled to a jot and to a tittle. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And the last one is, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, those can all come together in this particular portion of the Word of the Lord. Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. 15th chapter, 1 Samuel, beginning is the first verse. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now, there's a couple of things you need to remember here, and I'm going to read fast because I've got 34 verses to read. But the first thing you need to understand is that the Lord has spoken through his servant Samuel and has told Samuel to go down to Saul, the king of Israel, and to tell them to go down and to destroy the Amalekites. Wipe them out. Wipe them out. Don't spare anything. Now, it's important that you remember that because later you're going to find out that's not what happened. You already read it to you. Saul goes down here, takes an army with him, and he goes down here. And the first thing he does is he gets down there and he says to some of the people who were there, the Kenites, he said, you people get out of here. We're going to destroy these people. And the Lord has sent us down here to destroy them, and we're going to do that. But because you showed favor to the children of Israel when they came up out of the land of Egypt, we're going to let you escape. Now, the reason the Amalekites are going to be destroyed is because whenever the children of Israel were coming up out of the land of Egypt and they needed help, the Amalekites refused to help them. And the Lord remembered that. Those were God's people that he was leading up out of the land of Egypt. They were his chosen people. And whenever he came to some people who mistreated them, he had ways and means of letting them know, you will be punished. I will never get tired, and I'm sure you'll get more tired of hearing me say, sin always has a price to be paid. We need to be sure that we get that in our heads as God's people today, because too much of the time we're hearing preaching that isn't the case. Sin always has a price to be paid. And God did not forget what the Amalekites had done, even though it's 100 plus years later. In fact, I think it's about 400 years later. God doesn't forget. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. They go down here and they let the Kenites get out. And so then they start destroying as they were instructed to do. The armies went in and began to destroy the Amalekites. But listen, the last verse I read in your hearing, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandment. Got to remember these things. See, sometimes people just read these stories right through, and it's a nice story. It's something that's fun to read. It's just like any other book that you pick up and you read it and say, boy, that's a good story. But let me tell you something. Sometimes we need to get a little more into it than just being a story. We need to see there are some lessons in it for us as God's children. And I recognize this out of the Old Testament, but there are many things in the Old Testament that you and I can profit from and we can learn from if we'll pay attention to what God is saying. Now remember, God had spoken unto Samuel and told him to go down there and tell Saul this. Saul went and done, he said, what the Lord told him to do. But the word of the Lord came back to Samuel after this had taken place. And the Lord said unto Samuel, He said, It repenteth me that I've set him up, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. God does not take any pleasure in our sinning. God does not take any pleasure in our disobedience. God does not want us to half do a job. When God gives us a job to do, he wants us to do the whole job. Whenever that we do something for the Lord, we need to do, as Paul said, with everything there is about us. We need to put all of our energy into it. We need to put all of our talent into it. We need to put all of our effort into it and not just say, well, I'll just kind of do this whenever I want, however I want, and hope it's all right with the Lord. And if it's not, I'll just say, Lord, forgive me. I'll guarantee you, there's a price to be paid. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. That's a lie. That's a lie. You know, sometimes we just like to say, well, that's just a little white lie. Or that's a falsehood. That sounds, lie is a harsh word, you know. To say something is a lie. And so today we don't like to say that people lie. Well, they exaggerate. They overstate it. We'll come up with all kinds of fancy things. The truth of the matter is, a lie is a lie. Truth is truth. I have performed the commandment of the Lord, Saul said to Samuel. Now listen. And Samuel said, What meaneth this, the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Now, Samuel was very diplomatic. He was very nice to Saul. He didn't come out and say, you know what, the Lord's already told me that you didn't do what he sent you down there to do. I already know. God has already revealed unto me that you did not do what he sent you down there to do. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of things that we just half do, but God doesn't reveal those unto me. But he lets you know whenever you've just half done the job. Yeah. He lets you know whenever that you've just partially doing what you should be doing, know that you should be doing. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, well, you know what? If you perform the commandment of the Lord, now the commandment of the Lord was to go down there and utterly destroy everything they had. Wipe them out. Samuel said, if you wiped all of those animals out, why do I hear the sheep bleating? And the lowering of the oxen. Where are these coming from? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. You are the ones who do the wrong. We do what is right. You see what I've done? I blamed you for the wrong, but I got me included for the right. And that's what Saul was doing. He said, they, the people, they are the ones who spared those animals. I didn't have anything to do with that. The people that I went took down there with them, the Bible says that the people did spare. But it also says that Saul was guilty of it. They spared some of the flocks and the herds, but you know why they did it? They did it to sacrifice unto the Lord. Let me tell you what the Lord says here a little later. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Let me tell you something. We got a lot of preachers, we got a lot of people like to tell, oh, how wonderful it is for people to come and to repent and to say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We Baptists are no choice for this too. We want people to just say, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. You know what the Lord wants? He don't want us coming back to Him and saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. He wants us to be obedient to Him in the first place. And if we're obedient to the Lord in the first place, we don't have to come back to Him and say, I'm sorry, because He'll be blessing us. God does not bless disobedience. Don't think for a second that He will from any of His children. How many of you here at mamas and daddies today, whenever your children did something wrong, said, oh, bless your little heart, I just love you so much for that. I'm so proud of you for doing that. No, you didn't do that. If you're a halfway decent parent, you didn't. Let me tell you something. God is a wonderful person. God is a forgiving person. God is a patient person. God is a God of love. But let me tell you something. God can also be a God of wrath. And God also is a person who can mete out some pretty stiff penalties. And He still does that today. What meaneth then the bleeding of the sheep and the Lord? Well, they did that. They did that because they wanted to sacrifice unto the Lord. But the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee a king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Now, we're warming up a little bit. We're going to admit to a little bit here. Sometimes we're willing to take a little bit out of the blame. Sometimes we're willing halfway to admit we could be wrong. We don't want to admit we are. But the people took of the sheep, of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord this great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Yeah. God wants us to pay attention to Him as His children. God wants us to listen to Him, to follow His instructions, not just half listen and then half do what we have heard, but listen to what He says. Do what He says, and do it the way that He says to do it. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Of course, I mentioned this morning a witch, but far cry. I don't know a lot about witchcraft, to be honest with you. I don't know a lot about it. I just know it's not good. I've never studied witchcraft. Some of you may have. You may be experts in witchcraft. I used to tell people all the time, every once in a while I'd be somewhere and I'd say, you know, this is my mother-in-law's favorite season of the year. And they'd say, oh my. I said, yeah, you know, she's a test pilot for a broom factory. And I want to see years. I give my mother-in-law a bad time. I loved her, but I can I told a lot of stories on her, and sometimes people believed me. That's the scary part. Listen, the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So whatever witchcraft may be bad, I think it's bad. Obviously, rebellion fits in that same category. And most of us, some of you say, well, I don't know anything about witchcraft. I hope you don't know anything about rebellion. But I know what rebellion is. I've experienced rebellion. I've been guilty of rebellion. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Shirley, keep quiet. Shirley knows how stubborn I am as a person, better probably than anyone. And I am. I'm a pretty stubborn person. I try not to be quite as stubborn with the Lord because I know, you know, what he can do. I've experienced that. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Now Samuel said, I know that you rejected the word of the Lord. I know that you didn't do what God sent you down there to do. God already let me know that. I knew that before I came down there and met you on the road. Sometimes God lets us know. We don't have to ask anybody else. Sometimes we know exactly when we've done all that we were supposed to do. Samuel said unto Saul, because you have not done and you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being the king over Israel. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, you see, here we go. Now we're going to confess our sin. But you know what? It's somebody else's fault. It's not mine. And if we don't live in a day-to-day when everything is somebody else's fault, I don't know of a time there's ever been. Whenever we look to blame everybody else for what's going on, instead of being big enough to accept some of the responsibility ourselves and say, you know what? I'm just as guilty as the next one is. Once in a while, people, we're going to have to stand up for what's right. We're going to have to stand up for what God teaches in his word. And we're going to have to get over this myth that we've got to be afraid of what everybody else is going to think, say, or do. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. Plain and simple. Saul said, I did it because I feared the people. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being the king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. Talking about the Lord. He does not lie nor will he repent. Lost my place. For he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Now listen, remember what I said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God teaches in his word that his word will be fulfilled to a jot and a tittle. And God's going to see that the work is carried on. You know what? God's work is going to go on as long as time remains here. And before he calls, well, it'll go on after he even takes his children out. Because there's some more work for him to do. But until that time, he left the work here to be the responsibility of us as his children. And that work will go on with or without me, with or without you. Don't think for a second that any of us are not dispensable, because we are. Now then, he said, Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. Now then, Samuel says to Saul, you go get Agag. Bring him here. Bring him to me. And so he brings him out there. And Agag in his mind is thinking, you know, the worst is already past. You know, I've been able to escape. Saul has spared me, the king himself. Now listen, though. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among men. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord God in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now, what I want to say in conclusion, get ready for the invitation song. What I want to say in conclusion is this. God's word was carried out. The job was done. It was done by the individual who should not have had the responsibility to do it. God gave the job of destroying the Amalekites with King Agag to Saul. And Saul fell down on doing what God had told him to do. But God's word was fulfilled. God saw that the job was done. And he took a man whom he had called to do something entirely different than to go out here and to slay Agag. But because those people who were responsible did not accept the responsibility, God said, Samuel, you go get him and destroy him. Because I said I wanted him destroyed. Let me tell you something. God's word will be fulfilled to a jot and to a tittle. God will see the job is done with or without you and me. But what a privilege it is that each one of us as a child of God have the opportunity while we're here to serve Him, to work for Him, to glorify Him, and to carry out what He said in His Word. While we stand and sing this morning, if you're here and the Lord has spoken to your heart, I hope that you'll let Him have His way with you.